General Judgment.
Would like to welcome everybody to the August 26, 2024 meeting of the Board of the Salt Lake County Library. This meeting is now in session. I'm going to turn the time over to Joey McNamee, our new library director.
Oh my God. Good. Thank you. Thank you all. I cannot believe we have already reached the end of August. It still is June in my heart. But time does fly and kids are back in school and we have a lot to cover today. So thank you for coming out. Thank you for hosting us here at the beautiful Harriman Branch. Won't say anything. I won't steal your thunder. And I'm so excited to announce that we have a couple of very special guests with us here today. First, we have Mayor Jenny Wilson. So thank you so much for joining us. We're so delighted to have you here. And not long retired director Jim Cooper is also
trying to get the back row.
She doesn't have to sit on the
And we're so happy to have them with us. We can move into some public comments and correspondence, or if you'd like to say anything now,
I'll jump in now and then feed lunch after. But thank you. I'm just thrilled to be here. And like you, I have mixed feelings. I wish it were June. I love summer, but I also wish it was November 6th.
Stuck in the middle. Appreciating that we're still enjoying a little bit of summer and looking to what will be, I think, a really crazy fall for a lot of reasons.
I just wanted to come and say hello, and I had been invited during the selection period to come and meet with you all, and I think that it was one of the appointments I couldn't make because I got COVID and wasn't able to be here, so my apologies for that, but good to be here now, and I want to share that in my busy life as mayor of the county, I have the opportunity to work with so many different entities and lines at Salt Lake County and outside groups and such, everything from, you know, issues in the Cottonwood Canyons to arts and culture. But libraries are so vital to our community that our community probably knows you better than any other element of what we do at Salt Lake County. I don't even think people even understand that Salt Lake County and the sheriff and I and others are primarily responsible for the Salt Lake County Jail. But they do know of our libraries. They care about the work you do, and you are interfacing with the broader array of constituents in your communities. So thanks goes out to the board members who take the time to do this and to staff who day in and day out keep our libraries welcoming. And, you know, we could talk forever about books, the importance of books, but they're also, especially in this era, but, you know, the idea of a community center and a connection, a place for people to be. Libraries represent who we are as America now and where we are past as well. You know, this journey of who we are as a community is very much contained within this idea of connection, community, and libraries on the ground in communities. And I thank you so much for being the good, happy part of what I get to do when I'm in the process of chance. I don't have to talk to them when I talk about you all about, you know, the choice around Robinell Hall. Why I oppose the gondola, or why we need to pass the public safety bonds. We can just share in how valuable our libraries are, and also one of the things I want to also kind of focus on for a second is that in the complicated life of a mayor, I have these moments to get really, like, dig deep on something. And I had that opportunity when we went through the tax increase issue. And I was better educated on the various needs within the system, which libraries are aging. I was lobbied by a lot of mayors, as you can imagine. Some who are looking for just enhancements to their home libraries. Some are looking for new builds in their communities. And it's been really great for me to better understand your budget. Thank you, Leslie, for all this. Sometimes, you know, we were like team library for a while. It's a priority issue, so we spent a lot of time on budgets and defining a way with council input to make sure that they're viable into the future. And I'm really excited about the revenue that will allow us to continue to enhance our library system as a whole. And when we now work, you know, as you all know, we're looking at the need in several communities, West Valley right now. We talked about that particular one more than any other issue, even back to the days when I was on the council. So let's get going on that one. I know there are other communities and other needs as well within the system, and feel pretty educated now on what you all do and the future need for revenue as well. So last, I just want to thank Joey for applying, and thank you all for selecting her. And it was an easy yes when I was told of the recommendation to have Joey in this role. And first of all, she's incredibly competent. She has a broad array of skills, and most importantly, she cares. And I think that is important as we look at the future of the library system. So happy you're here, and happy to be here, and thank you for great food and Diet Coke. I might have to get it monthly. My schedule is named Sarah. But I do hope I can pop in a little more in future years. And again, thanks to the board for taking the time to serve. That's appreciated. And I saw a board member and my colleague, Representative Harrison, came in, now council member. We used to call her representative as a former House representative. But you've got an amazing leader in council member Harrison, and somebody who also cares quite a bit. So great to have county representation on this board in addition to staff. So thank you. And I'll kick it back to Joey and enjoy some lunch. I think I can stick around a little bit. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming out here. What a treat to have you here, and I'm glad lunch felt worth the trip. That's a bonus. Jim, would you like to?
The member of public.
Yeah, maybe we should hold off until the public comment.
Are you
going to
cut him off?
Looking
behind, back in the back room, and say, can the public really come back here? They didn't take me off. So first, I want to give a wholehearted endorsement for Joey. Congratulations. I'm going to thank the board for going through the deliberation and seriously considering candidates and making a informed and wise choice, passionate, compassionate, and smart. So I think you have a great new director, Joey, and she'll take the system forward to places I could never dream of, I'm sure. So thank you for that. And I also want to thank the mayor for accepting her your recommendation and her directorship. So thank you, Mayor. And then one more thing. I just want to remind the board the power that you have. Your policy-making board, the power that you have to affect the community, to affect people's lives in the community, is incredible. And don't forget that you do have a lot of power to make decisions about the collection, about materials that are selected, about buildings that are built, about services that are provided. Don't fall victim to the vocal few who want to ban books, who want to take away privileges that the rest of the community enjoys. You know, schools have a little bit different responsibility in their school libraries. The public library, though, I think is sacrosanct, and we need to make sure that we protect the materials that are available to the public for all of the public. So just a reminder there. I'm sure there's something else I'll think of.
That's your prerogative. All right, we'll turn to the first action item, which is to approve minutes from the June 24th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? Do I have a second?
Yes.
Whoever. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? That was everybody. So the next portion of the meeting is public comments. Do we have any public comments from members of the public?
Mr. Chair, Morris, Steve Van Maren, currently a resident of Riverton. I noticed there was nothing on the agenda about a new director, so I'm glad that's been resolved. Congratulations. That's why I came to see what was going on. That's right. I mean, you know, after other recommendations. So I'm good. Thank you. For...
Thank you.
And you... I just have one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that Joey and all of you recognize the incredible staff that support all of the operations that are taking place in the library. Without this team and all the ones behind the scenes, behind the desk, shelving books, doing the marketing, doing all of the things that many people don't even realize the library is responsible for. But without a great staff, it wouldn't be successful. And we've got the greatest team in the world here, and I'm so proud that they have been able to do such great things for me and support me when I was the director, and they will support me as well. So, good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any public comments online? correspondence? Any correspondence to be discussed?
We do have a couple of items. If I could respond quickly to Mr. Van Maren's comment. Yes, we probably could have put on the recipient because we had it in June, and then that seems like such a long time ago. So thank you for joining and keeping an eye out for these transitions. We had a couple of correspondents, and we do have a sort of correspondence conversation about how that should work, slated later on the agenda. But we got a couple of notes from patrons that I did want to share with the whole board. The first one was from a patron in Sandy who was concerned about the children's material display, and I believe you received that one, feeling like it seemed like it might have a little bit of an agenda to it. And so we responded with some information. Our director of that branch, Darren Butler, responded, and he explained sort of how the materials are displayed, and directed her to our reconsideration process if she had additional concerns. And that's where whenever we get a concern like that, we direct our patrons to the reconsideration process because it's a really robust process that we value. We think it's important for people to be able to have that opportunity to share their concerns with our system. And so we have not heard back from that, but did respond to that patron. We additionally had another comment from a patron who was really concerned about some database changes that we were implementing. And really, these were managed at the state level, and the state sort of changed their contract. And so who's providing these databases is pretty technical. And if you have technical questions, I will point you in the direction of Krista. But essentially, we believe that most of the patrons' needs are going to be able to be met with the new providers, and we have informed her accordingly and have not heard any additional complaints since. So those were the two key correspondences that we wanted to make sure that you were aware of.
All right. Thank you. So now we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the introduction of the Harriman Branch by Christopher Desange. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Branch manager.
Yeah, first of all, just welcome. We're happy to host. And just wanted to share a few things about Harriman Libraries.
Yes, we move you closer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Harriman Library serves a very unique community. It's a very family-oriented and well-educated community. And what that does is for us, it gives us an opportunity to do some unique programming. So just wanted to highlight some of the programs we did this past summer. We started off this summer with the Tabor's Traveling Troop. So it was a program to kick off the summer. We had barnyard animals here, and we had children come in. Took place right here on the lawn, took advantage of this great outdoor space. And we had a high attendance of 215, pretty high numbers right there. In addition to that, we had a Bubbles and Chalk program several times throughout the summer, also took place right here outside. And we had an overall high 179 for that. So again, the unique community here allows us to do some programming and reach out to them. But in addition to the program that we do, we also see it as an opportunity to connect with the community. One of the things that we've done for that this past summer for our summer reading program, Becca Goodman, one of our youth services librarians, implemented a volunteer program for teens here in the local community. They came in and they helped us out with summer reading. In total, we had 10 volunteers and a total of 178 hours served. So it was a great opportunity to connect with them. In addition to that, Elena Albrea, one of our adult services librarians, she started a art exhibit here. And right now, we are booked out till July 25. So all artists that will be participating thus far are from the Jeremy community and range in age from 3 to 8. So as you can see, it's a very unique place, and being able to have everyone come in and see this, just as the mayor had said, as a community place, a place of community, they give us an opportunity to do all of that. So yeah, that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do. And we're just excited to have you here. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right, now I'll turn the time back over to Joey for some discussion about the board process, the board inquiry process.
Yes. So this is there's a little bit of history I'm going to share with you, and then we can move into the discussion. You may recall last year, I think it was about a year ago, we established for all board members county library email contact information, because we wanted to make sure that folks were able to contact you, have access to contact you, and have that information available on the website without divulging your personal email account. And so we created these library email accounts for you. The county is now moving to a form-based interface so that they just fill out a form, and it will that email will automatically be forwarded to your personal email, but then folks won't have access to it. And Melissa, jump in here if you've got corrections, because Melissa's been our leader on this particular piece. So there's two pieces of it. One is the sort of technical change that you'll have a form that will direct the emails to your personal email account. The second piece of it is when and how you want us to respond. We also see copies of those emails that go to the board. And we have talked in June and previous meetings about the library team being the ones to respond, because oftentimes it's sort of technical questions that we're probably best suited to answer. And I just want to touch base with you and make sure that is the plan that you would like going forward. Oh, and
Rob, a question. When you keep talking about your personal email, are you talking about like their Gmail, or are you talking about the email that the library created for them?
Great question. Like your Gmails. So as opposed to your
personal. So they won't have the library email anymore?
Well, that's an interesting question. We were imagining that we would leave your library emails intact so that we could copy you on the responses. So so the patrons who are sending in this communication would understand that you were still receiving that. We can blind copy you on the responses if that's easier. We can set it up so that the library email automatically forwards to your personal Gmail or other accounts that you would have. So that's what we want to talk about, is sort of the mechanics of how that works. Melissa, do you want to add anything to the background on that?
Yeah, so I talked to our IT team, and we are going to keep those county emails, like Joey was saying, so we would have access to be able to CC everybody on that email without having your personal information out there. So we're going to set up a rule to have those transferred, but the problem with the rule forward is you have to have a specific like person contact, something like that. So I think only Spencer and Holly have received somebody's correspondence so far. So I set up a library contact email that forwards to you guys, which hopefully you'll help me test to make sure it works. But when we reply to those, a blind copy might be helpful to the personal email as well.
Okay.
So that's kind of the background with the IT side.
Yes. Does that subject, it does, I'm pretty sure, but how far does that subject your personal email accounts to grandma?
Yeah.
I think that's the big red flag in my brain.
Okay, that's a great question.
So could the form just go to their county email address? So all you're doing is you're creating a form interface instead of just their email. Because you're saying that they don't want the email links on the website?
Yes, we can set it up that way. We were trying to align with how they're doing it countywide.
So when we had the request set up the form, we were told that they don't want to have the email accounts for the county anymore. And because I don't know if it was like a budget issue or something, that's when we deactivated those accounts for a little while, but then we just reactivated them over the weekend just so we could have access to them. So that's my understanding that I'm hearing. Michelle Hicks was the one, I think, that told me that. So So from my understanding, they don't want to have those, but we're still trying to protect privacy, so that's why we're keeping them intact for just the moment.
I'm sorry, all this is new to me, so I'm just trying to understand the dynamic of it, because one of the commitments from the council was they wanted that constituents had direct access to board members. So we're ensuring that through a form, but it's going to their personal accounts and not to a county email.
Right, which haven't been checked that well so far, which that's why the reasons we wanted to keep the personal, because they're more likely to check that than that. But we can change whatever we need to change. We're just trying to find options that are going to be best for the board and to try and keep that contact link open.
So what if somebody like Anastasia would like to maintain their county email and not use a personal email? Is that an option?
Oh, we could do that. That's my history. Most people have not been monitoring them.
We were planning on keeping the county email specifically for that reason, and so that if we receive an email and we want to do a response, like if you email board member Romney, you would want him to know that he's aware that we've gotten back to you, and so we want to copy him on that. We don't want to use his personal email for that, so we would use the count. So we were going to maintain. The sort of guidance we've received is to rely on personal emails for the bulk of these communications. We felt like it was important to maintain the county email, and we have the ability to do that. Also, I'm noticing that Diane, who's here with us for in place of Megan today, so thank you for joining us too, also special guest, had a comment, and Anastasia, I know you have one too.
No, I mean, thinking about the grammar response, and then again, just the mechanics of how it works, and I don't presume to know everything about what we're discussing here. But I think if you're sending a form email to a council or board member, rather, who is going to personal email, it seems like we're sort of working to understand that that person is not going to be responding. Because, like, how do you respond? Like, you get yourself into trouble with grandma once you start responding, and you're responding from your personal address. Like, I think that becomes problematic. Like, if it's like a forwarding basically emails that you have no intent that someone is going to respond to, but I don't know if that's also really how you want to set it up, that there isn't actually a two option for a two-way, even if it is usually going to be something that you would be better able to answer. But I think if there's how you respond.
How many email would be on thought.
I have a couple thoughts. And this particular issue has, like, these are important conversations because this isn't simple, and the council interest in having you all have access to the public, I think it's valid, but we also don't want any of our board members to be harassed, no matter if they're library or health department or anybody in between, right? So I'm wondering a couple things. One is, I think some guidance we could give is I think staff are in a better position to take on the back and forths, right? Mm-hmm. So an acknowledgement of in whatever form you're using, whatever email, I would suggest, and this is a personal call to a certain degree, but I would think it's better because staff serve as a subject experts as it relates to some of the very, you know, complex issues that can pop up, right? They're more privy on a daily basis to the broader array of, you know, county policy as well as just, you know, how things are bubbling along generally. So I think that the idea that a board member would respond and say, I have read your email, it's very much appreciated, and by the way, I'm kicking this over to whoever it is, you know, if it's admin staff on behalf of Joey or it's Joey or whomever, that makes sense to me. But then additionally, I wonder if we couldn't work with Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So just one idea. I'm not saying you have to do it this way. It's just the wheels are turning. Like, what if there were a county email address that were lisa@volunteer.saltlakecounty.gov? So volunteer is embedded in? Because I think IT had a voice in this, too, saying, wait a minute, if every, you know, we've got lots and lots of volunteers, we've got a lot of different board members, some boards have more authority than others, but if everyone generally had I don't know if the word's volunteer, but there's some way to segment out, and then it's up to Michelle or whomever who oversees all of the board positions to discontinue when we have a board resignation or term worked out.
Is that part of the issue?
So I don't. Yeah. Just a couple of thoughts as we work through it.
I I think it helps when you have sort of those keywords in the email address so that they're to designate what it is.
Yeah, I don't want to think if we're using county emails that we and not the form that we would want to not designate.
Yeah.
But differentiate between boards, volunteer, and staff.
Versus staff. Yeah. Because when you give them a county email, it just looks like they're an employee.
Yeah.
I see
if we go down that road.
Right.
That might be a workaround to avoid a form.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have said anything because now I'm getting involved in something that I don't know enough about.
Good ideas.
So what if we do this? Let us go back and do a little bit more research. Our intent in coming to this conversation today was to let you know that I believe on the county side they're moving forward with the form for the website interface to send that email. Right now it's set up so that that form automatically forwards to your personal email. If you would like to change that, and we are maintaining your county emails. Let me back up and say we will be maintaining your library email accounts. If you would like to change it so that the form goes to your library email account, for grammar-related or just personal preference reasons, let's let Melissa know. You don't have to do it in the meeting, but when we send out the notes after this meeting, we'll include a reminder in the email that says, hey, your emails are going to be sent forwarded from this form to your personal email account. When we respond, which we will plan to do, we'll pop in, hi, we got your email, and Board Member Rami asked us to follow up. Here's the info. We will copy you, but we will use your library email address for that, because for that exact reason, we don't want to have your personal information being out there in the public.
That makes sense.
We will look into some of our technical options for getting email accounts that might say things like board member or volunteer or something to help further even delineate your role with the system, but I don't know what those options are just yet.
I might just mention, and I don't know whether this is the right thing to do or not, but I have my county email forwarding to my personal email, which is probably a good thing to do if people are watching.
Well, maybe that's what's happening if I assume nobody's paying attention to that, but you have that who are set up for you.
That is pretty easy.
But we like the idea of changing because when it had to be on our website for a little while, you're getting a lot of spam. So changing email would be really helpful.
I got less than I expected.
Really?
Less than I expected.
And I have to be honest, I wasn't monitoring it because I thought somewhere it said, if we need to know, you'll let us know. Like,
yes.
But you guys are monitoring it.
And we have been.
And I was assuming that we actually email me also. So
I've got lots of people on email you. But we are monitoring it to be able to provide that response. But you are getting it, and we wanted to make sure. The other piece of this is we want to make sure that it can work. Want to be the responder, that we are out of your way. You know, our assumption, unless you instruct us otherwise, is that we'll initiate a response. Most of the time, they're technical questions. But if there is a philosophical question or something that you do want to jump in on, then you're the board member, and that's certainly your prerogative.
And I'm happy to be involved with conversations if there's tweaks that we need to make a policy or talk to council members to clarify the intent. I think the intent of helping the public, you know, be informed is good. If there's technical issues that are causing, you know, confusion or IT nightmares, like, I'm happy to be part of conversations to clarify what there's something that we need to talk.
Thank you. That's great. I think a key issue is the cost of keeping these email addresses open. You know, for us, for this board, it's more manageable. For some of our other sister agencies, that is, they may have more boards or more volunteers and fewer resources to be able to devote to that. So I think that's where this form to personal email workaround evolved or how it evolved. But for us, we'll maintain your library email accounts as described. Okay. I think that covers everything we needed to cover on that topic.
Can I cover one quick thing for my lead? I forgot to mention, I'm really loving my book club. And when I launched it, I didn't know where it would take us, but we've had, like, one of the sessions
We had Terry Tempest Williams come and discuss her New York Times article. A couple weeks ago, I showed an independent film that I produced, and we did an outdoor screening, which was super fun. So it's books and media, and it's an interesting thing because I've got enough of a reach now with your help that we're filling our capacity usually. But I love the idea of it becoming kind of more known throughout the county. So I don't know what that means for the library, but, you know, maybe we go to bigger, you know, when we have really big guests, we go to bigger settings and sites. The next one is Arthur Brooks, Love Thy Enemies, or that's the biblical way you say it. Love Your Enemies, I think is how we said it. But that's meant to be a conversation around setting aside partisanship and religious differences and us coming together as people to honor each other. So that one's going to be great. He's really well known. But just a thought, like maybe we do one big arena. I don't mean stadium. I don't think we have to do recycles or even like bigger center. And we really work together to get a New York Times bestselling author of whatever that is relevant within the library system. Because I'm looking at things that I know or I like or I come across someone, but if the library is like, wow, this is the biggie this year. Could we, you know, work together to get the author in? Maybe do a really big splash annually.
Yeah.
So just an idea. It's so much fun. But just an idea.
Yeah,
exactly. One of those things.
Right.
That would be awesome. So maybe for spring, we look at that.
All right. Brainstorm.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me join you.
Thank you for being here.
Off to the next adventure. Yes.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll keep our eyes out for the next big thing. Our ordering team.
Yeah.
Our technical services collection team does a great job of knowing what's popular. So.
Yeah. And that fits with our county values, too.
Got it.
Right?
Awesome. Got it.
We have a take for something out.
Oh, I'm not a base. Okay.
Well, we should at least send people the drivers.
Yeah.
Take it then. We'll be giving some out when he speaks, but prior, we won't sound proof at it.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you, Jim. Have
too much fun.
All right, so for the next agenda item, we're going to stick with Joey for an update on the timeline and next steps for new buildings.
Okay. It's a lot of me here in a row, so thanks for bearing with me. I wanted to let you know that we are moving forward with our buildings, which I've said every time for the last 6 months, but we're getting close. We've been having some great conversations with our colleagues in Midvale and in West Valley. As the mayor mentioned, West Valley is, of course, a top priority for us. And so these projects are moving forward. We will be getting ready to take a couple of key steps. The first one is, and Leslie, stop me if I'm starting to encroach on your territory here, give me a little signal. We have to go through a few steps. One of them is a reimbursement. We have to go to a debt review committee to talk about what we're planning on spending, how we plan to finance it, what money we have available, all of that. And that we will be doing in September, maybe. Probably late September. They meet at the end of the month, and so our plan is to go to that meeting, and then we'll be requesting from our county council something called a reimbursement resolution which will help set up some spending mechanisms that allow us to be reimbursed from a bond down the road for that. So what else we're getting close to doing, knock on wood, is purchasing land. And I mentioned specifically because we anticipate a closed session coming soon, hopefully September, to talk about some land purchases, and I didn't leave it at that because it's land. We're going to a closed session for a reason, but we're hopefully moving forward on that. So thank you for your support, sort of as we've been building up to this moment, and then we'll be back with more information in the coming weeks about what we think that might look like. I didn't go too far. I'm good. Doing those hand signals and things to you, right?
We've got like a baseball situation set up, so we'll stay on track. No, I'm just kidding, but maybe we'll get one.
All right, turn the time over to Sarah Neal.
Hello. This spring, we worked with Love Communication to do some community engagement in West Valley. And this was to look at property that we currently have the library on, looking to see what people in the community wanted in the next library in West Valley. So we did that through a long process, first with a bunch of focus groups of folks in West Valley to see if they are library users, how they use the library, what they were looking for. And after getting a lot of information from those few focus groups, we then did a survey to West Valley community members to see what were in the library, how they use library services. So I wanted to take a few minutes and go through some of the huge report that Love Communications put together. Some of it reinforces a lot of what we know about how people use the library, but some of the points were really interesting. So I wanted to take a few to share those with you.
And Emily, let's go.
So just the biggest picture takeaway, people want libraries to be in neighborhoods. They want them to be close to housing. They want them to be close to schools, to green space like parks, and often other county community services as well. This is not surprising. They still really want computers and some of those technical tools that not everybody has in their home, especially printing and faxing. And they also want seating, and they want meeting space. And then, of course, they want physical books, and they want library on sites to help with it. And it's really interesting. I'll get down there and make slides about how non-library holders view the library versus library holders. Okay. So our research objectives, what we were looking at, is we wanted to know what people wanted around the library in West Valley. That was one of the biggest pieces that we were looking at. And what external factors define and help guide their decisions on what that should be. What features are most desirable in a new library, whether it is in West Valley. Okay. What do people know about libraries in the community, and how do they get this information? What other things and threats do we want to explore? So we looked specifically at patrons in West Valley. So we did this through a survey to library card holders who are active with that of West Valley branch or other libraries in West Valley as their home location. We also worked with Love and Qualtrics to find people who were not already library users who were in West Valley so that we could get their viewpoint as well. We did just look at West Valley and a couple of the zip codes there, and we also geolocated their proximity to the branch so that we were, if they were not in the specific zip code, were they still close enough that they would be using West Valley as a branch. In total for the survey, we had about 470 people respond. It was a nice representative section of the community, and this was done in March. So again, looking just at West Valley to make sure that we were close. One of the things that we learned from Love is that they have such a hard time finding people who are not library card holders, which is great for us. But that is challenging for data. So they went outside of our audience to really try to fill in the gaps with people who are not library card holders. For the people who took the survey, 84% were active library card holders. Wonderful. We asked them which branches they were going to. In this case, actually, Hunter was the most visited branch from those residents in West Valley, and then the West Valley branch was second. The other ones that people most likely went to were Taylorsville and Magna, just due to proximity. And then, of course, we want to know how people are using them. Are they only looking for digital materials? Are they only looking for physical materials? 61% are bulk materials. They want physical materials, but they also want the option of e-materials, trade, and other services. And then we had a few that I do not use my library very well. And then most people are going about once or twice a month, which is what we expect. That is also because most due dates are 3 weeks, so we get people in that 3-week cycle.
I love this one so much. We ask people, are libraries more for education or are they for entertainment? And most people are like, it's a combination of both. But if we separate out the yellow ones or the non-library card holders and people who don't have a library card think that libraries are more for educational purposes, and then people that do have a library card are most likely to say it's admissible. So that's an interesting, it's interesting to see how people who do not have a library card see the library.
So does that is influencing your marketing thoughts about how to get those non-library card holders to think of the library as not educational but as something more?
It's percolating, and we've been focusing the past couple months a lot more on bigger system events and programming in some of the marketing to see if we can get more people in that way and to say the library is a fun place where you get to do things, not just the library is an educational institution.
Yeah.
So it will continue, I think, to change how we help market and talk about ourselves. Then we asked, what do you think libraries have? What do you think libraries should have? There's top choices for physical books, on-site librarians, e-books, and children's classes. And then when we asked people on the next slide to just kind of, again, put things in order of what they think libraries should have, they even said physical books, librarians, e-materials. Actually, we have all of those in the snow. Which is pretty good. Next slide, we started to ask them, what do you want near a library branch? What do you want in close proximity? We did not define close proximity, but just the idea of most people think of it as, what can I walk to? That's what I want within sight of the library. Single-family homes, they want schools and parks and other kind of facilities, green space, and high-density housing. So they want to have their libraries in a neighborhood-feeling spot. And then again, when we ask them to rank what is most important that you want in proximity to the library, they said neighborhoods of homes, either single-family or high-density, and parks. So green space is really important, obviously, but we also want to know that we can walk to a library with a family, we can be friends with other community members there, and it just reinforces our neighborhood. Okay. Then in West Valley, we asked people how do they get around. 92%, of course, said a personal car is how they get around most frequently, and then things like walking and biking and public transportation were after that. And then once we ask people, what would you like to be able to use to get to the library? At that point, I think 80% said a car. Yeah, 80% are a car. Almost 50% of people want to be able to walk to the library, which I agree, honestly, would like to be able to walk to. Because it just reinforces the community. It's just that. We, of course, have gone through this data as a leadership team. We presented, Joey's talked about it, the mayor's office, and then we're presenting it to today. We're happy to answer any questions about the data if you have more additional questions about it.
We can make a slide available as part of our materials that we send out after the slides available, after the meeting. In case you want to just really chew on it or reference it at some point in the future.
There's just tons and tons of survey data and back assessments. If you have more questions, we can also take it from that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. All right, now we'll turn the time over to Christina Walsh for discussion of library at your door policy.
Excellent. Thank you. On behalf of the Policy and Procedure Committee, I'm just going to highlight some changes we made to our Library at Your Door policy. Library at Your Door is a service we offer to homebound patients who can't come into the library for illness, injury, or disability. And so we mail books for that. So just some background on these policies. We, over the last few years, have been doing some cleanup of our policies, making sure we're using the same words in each one. So we did clean up this to reflect our name, what we call ourselves. So we changed that
to Salt Lake County Library, Walnut County Library. So that's all updated. And I'm sorry.
Okay, there is a copy. You're wonderful.
We took out some instances of using homebound in favor of saying library at your door patron, because they enroll in our program. We did add just a clarification here. Oh, sorry, I don't know if I mentioned this, but in favor of inhabitant, we changed it to resident. We just updated the maximum number of items allowed. It used to just say 20. It is 10, but we allow up to 20 with sanitized materials and mail back and forth. So that's where that change is. And then on the next page, it's a few more removing homebound to add library at your door. We did change one thing at the very end, account and use parameters. We removed the, it said frequently review the status. Instead, we changed it to reflect reality, which is annual reviews of stats. So,
yeah, overcommitment.
Yeah, you don't have. And that's really it, just very minor changes, especially, again, to clean up and build consistency. We also have to just change a few of the numbers to make sense. So I don't know if anyone has questions or if it goes to vote next or...
Unless people have questions, yeah.
Yeah.
How many people are using this service and how often, how do they... What's the mechanism for delivering the material?
So we do mail them through the Postal Service. When a patron enrolls in the program, they're given the option to have a library advisor. And so we librarians usually fill that role, and they prepare those items for them based on reading preference or specific request. They put them all in a bag, and that bag is mailed.
How is it returned?
So patrons can either, a family member can drop it off at a nearby branch, or they have a return postage option. So the library pays for that.
Do we know how many people are using the service? I'm just like,
a couple hundred.
Okay. Cost-wise, like that.
It's under, I'm going to say it's under 10,000.
Thanks. That part I wasn't sure about.
And is there a mechanism to, like, determine the reason that they're needing it mailed? Like, I'm just trying to make sure we don't turn into Amazon.
No, you should have. Yeah. We have a librarian who's in charge of the program, and they'll call and have a little visit with, this is why we need the service. Sometimes it's family members calling in and saying, I have an elderly parent or something like that, talking about it. We are not super restrictive because we haven't had to be, but we also we don't like go out and investigate, you know. Often people will let us know once they no longer need the service, and sometimes it's just a matter of they return the material, we don't check anything out again.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, people aren't in the service for a super long time, unless they have like a disability or something that prevents them from getting the library. And then that's what our coordinator does, is making sure that annual thing, that the person still wants to be in the program, hasn't needed to go out of the program, I guess. I'm maybe a little bit delicate there, but
I don't mean to put anyone on the spot. I'm just trying to give a sense.
And one other, if I can get back on that, Matt, one other thing is their library card, once it's set to a library at your door account, it can't be used in person, like at all. So it kind of protects, I think, some of that, is that you know, you're giving up being able to use the library in session.
And I think, if I recall, when you can correct me, you've like targeted like Meals on Wheels people,
mm-hmm.
recipients, so there's that cross
support through that. So you already identify some homebound individuals to Meals on Wheels, and so then this is something that supports those.
I don't know who's in charge of the librarian that's overseeing the program at the moment. I know in the past, they've always kind of had a personal relationship with the individual. They give them reader advisory, and they talk to them about their condition often. I mean, it's not counseling.
Yeah.
But it seems like when these people that are homebound, they call the librarian to chat. And so they really do. And there might be a couple hundred, right? Somewhere around 100 to
160.
160, yeah. And it stays kind of in that range, and the librarian really does kind of know
who they are.
More than they should.
Thank you so much for that background.
If I could add one more little thing, and that's everybody knows that we pay library postage, and so it is actually less expensive for us to use that method than Amazon or UPS or any of the other delivery services. So get a good deal out of it.
And we monitor the expenses closely, you know, particularly in a tight budget season, making sure we feel like this is a really valuable service for people who are unable to easily leave their homes. but monitoring that and looking at the processes that we have in place to ensure that it's going to the folks who need it the most. And if, you know, we start to see it tick up or become concerning for some other reason, I think we can explore additional measures to make sure that we're getting the right people. But it does happen organically through the process. Case management is, or not counseling is kind of the wrong term, but it is that sort of ongoing relationship that I think helps add to the integrity of the process.
Just out of curiosity, did you see an uptick in 2020?
Stays pretty steady because really elderly people, not to be like weird, but like we used to check like obituaries to see if our interns had passed for this program. So it's really people that just can't get into the library that really love this program.
Yeah, and the reason I was curious is because it seems like that would have been an indicia of abuse if it ticked up during when.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Or people felt less safe leaving their houses.
Right?
They exactly. Previous groups. Yeah. So first time,
our
way
to get materials for patrons during that time.
Yeah.
How do you staff that program?
So I mentioned earlier that when patrons enroll, they have an option to be connected to a library advisor. And so those are our staff members that volunteer to help with the program. And by volunteer, I don't mean they're not getting paid. They are getting paid. They've just opted in to fill that role. So I've been a library advisor in the past, and it's just a fun way to do reader's advisory, connect with someone in the community that can't come in. And we do spend a lot of time on the phone and just chatting and getting to know them and figuring out what they like, and sometimes we fail.
All right. Well, would somebody like to make a motion that we approve the changes to the policy?
So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Yep. Hearing none. We will move on to the, thank you so much, to the next section of the meeting. We'll turn to the director report. Back to Joey.
Okay. Before I dive in, I did want to say, Holly, we're seeing your comments. I don't know if we acknowledged it earlier when we were having our email discussion, but I did see that you want to see the comment and the response, so that's good for us to know. When you're contacted by a patron, and I love your neighbor, love your enemy. Yes, we'll put holds on that now. Okay, great. Longer now. The other thing I wanted to make sure to mention is I wanted to thank Melissa and Emily for setting up the meeting today. Thank you for ordering lunch, getting all the technical, waking up our owl.
They even take the cork and I mean, like, this is
really. Oh, okay.
It's above and beyond.
So thank you. It's always, I know, extra effort to make sure that these meetings go smoothly, and I appreciate what you've done there. My director's report, you know, you've sort of heard about the other things that I had earlier on the agenda, so I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for selecting me and giving me the chance to work with this incredible team, doing kind of a dream job that I'm honored and delighted to be able to do. When I first assumed the role in January when Jim retired, I panicked. Those are some very big shoes to fill. Jim, you have led this organization so with effectiveness and thoughtfulness and heart. And that was evident coming into this team. It's a strong team. You hear from me a lot. You heard from Jim a lot. But Jim said at the top of the meeting, this leadership team and our system is deep. We have so much expertise throughout our system and so much passion. And that was a huge piece of why I wanted to apply for the job, is the longer I stayed here working with this incredible team, the less I could envision not working here. So I am honored and grateful for this chance, and I appreciate the board's trust, and I appreciate your support of our system long before I was in the picture. And moving forward, we talk often about how grateful we are to have such an engaged and supportive board. So I think that's it for the director's report, but thank you again for this opportunity.
Yep. All right, we'll turn the time over to Leslie Webster for finance and operations update.
Thank you. All right, well, end of July, we finished up our budget deliberations internally, so our library leadership team. So I will talk more about that next month. We have not yet met with the mayor's office. That is next week. So figured we should do that before I come in and tell you, you know, how the budget is looking, what we asked for. So we'll talk about that then. A good portion of the meeting with the mayor's office is actually looking at our long-range plan. Now, I can't remember how many of you have seen copies of the long-range plan, those of you on the board. So a few. Okay, great. So long-range plan is quite important because, again, we're looking out at least 20 years. We're looking at all of our debt. So as we do buildings, like what are the bonds? When are they going to pay off? So how does that all look? It also shows when are we going to need our next tax increase. Okay, so really looking at that funding. So that will be a good portion of the meeting that we have with the mayor's office, and maybe something that we want to bring back to the boards either next month, possibly the following month, just so that you understand kind of what we're looking at over the next, when I say little while, the next 20 years, what we're looking at for our operations, for the new buildings, things like that. I think it is important for the board to at least have a basic understanding of what our plans are. And if you have ideas for us and would like to give some guidance, we would love to hear that as well. Okay. Right at the moment, we are dealing with some building issues with a few of our buildings. We go out and we get bids, and it seems like every time we go out and get a bid, right, the price has gone up, so we have to go back for a budget adjustment to get additional funds. By the time we do that, we turn around, the costs have gone up again. So we've got a few projects where we're now into our third budget adjustment and hoping to get them done in time. So one is our Western coolers, so getting those, the chillers, getting those taken care of, and then our MadVan restroom remodel. And so we will hopefully be getting those through in the next month or so, and hopefully can move forward. Weird weather that we've been having of late. We had a big hailstorm about, a month ago, maybe not quite that long. Anyway, our Magna branch, the roof membrane sustained 200 holes in the roof. So from that hailstorm. And so we really need to replace the whole entire roof. There's no way we can do that before winter. I mean, just finding a contractor, even if we were able to find the money, number one, that would be an issue. So we are looking at having to patch those 200 holes. And so we'll have to do a budget adjustment to get some funds to be able to do that and see how long that will last. So we also have a hole, we don't think it was from the hailstorm, but a hole in our AC unit on top of the building. And so those need to be replaced as well. Doing it at the same time as the roof makes sense. And so this is probably something that we will need to look at taking care of next year or the year after. This was not really on our near future radar. The roof isn't that old, nor is the air conditioning units, okay? But having holes in them is a problem. So, again, things like this come up, and this is really something we have to address with our budget. And so it means moving money around in order to take care of these things. So that's kind of budgetarily some of the things we're dealing with over the next month or two. Okay? Any questions?
I haven't had a question. No. I just wanted to say, Leslie is highly regarded for having the best long-range plans in the county.
Should I put that on?
Yes, I get asked to, only because I have so much practice.
That's to modify it often.
You modify this, but she does. She's a great long range.
How, so you said the roof on the Magna location isn't that old. How old? Do you know how old it is?
The building is, I think it was finished in 2009, so about 15 years old.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we have plans. Like, we have a 15-year plan for all of the major systems in our buildings. And so roofs being one of them, AC units, HVAC system being one of them. And so it was still several years out before we would think that we needed to replace that.
Yeah.
How much of that comes out of, like, insurance?
Or the county is self-insured.
Okay.
So the library fund balance for us.
That's helpful for me to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the only time we would get anything from insurance is, like, occasionally we have patrons who either, like, you know, crash their cars into our property,
yeah,
or do something else to damage.
Yeah.
And we, yeah, we can go after them. So.
Okay.
Thank you. Questions?
All right, thank you.
All right, back over to Sarah for the marketing update.
Month of August was an awesome birthday party with our friends from Whitney Bear. We had a great event at Draper in partnership with the Forest Service and the BLM to celebrate Smokey's birthday, and so we got some nice media cards out of that. And then looking up this weekend, we have Stock the Rock, which is always a great time for media to come out and see the Meridian and beautiful space. We can decorate, that'll be good. And then, one of our favorite events of the year is Tosopon, which is the teen anime festival that happens in the middle of September, where teens from all over the county come for 2 days of just sharing their awesome geeky fandom with each other. So those are some of the bigger events that we're looking forward to see.
Is that one at the Meridian or
what? That is at the Meridian, yes. The old place big enough for all of them.
I would assume, but yeah.
I think we usually get like 1,500 teens, about 1,000 each day, and then some crossover. So it's a packed house.
When is that?
That is the 13th and 14th of September.
Second.
In the afternoon.
Oh, it's right before Fan X, so they can just roll their coffee driving. Yeah, it is.
A lot of families can afford to take
in. Yeah. Turn the time over to Pamela Park for the personnel report.
All right. As always, we have tons going on. These are the numbers. I won't read them off again, but I will talk a little bit about the vacancies and where we are in those processes. So we have 60 vacancies right now. 26 of them are already in the recruiting process, right? We're hiring, we're interviewing, we're recruiting. We have 11 on hold that we're just reviewing those positions to see if we need to fill them exactly like the vacancy is, or if we need to look at using them to reclass or move the positions somewhere else. We have 13 that are actually in the request process right now. And that seems high, but that's really just that we have to combine a few positions to the budget for new school request. And then we have 10 unused allocations that we will probably be using for reclasses soon.
Have you found one?
Thank you, Pamela. All right. Well, unless there is anything else, I think we are adjourned.
Jim, no one more thing?
Yeah, well, and the tour will follow the meeting. Okay. Yeah.
So we, for a while, did not take a motion to close the meeting, and then all of a sudden we started to take a motion. So maybe you can give us some guidance. Do we have to do that? Do we not have to do that?
Highly recommend.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So move. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you, Holly. Mm-hmm. You got adjourned.
Oh, I mean, I'm not sure. No, we all agree. I'm serious. I'm all excited. My favorite.